No one knows who first said tea is a cup of life, but for Justin Brundin, a member of the Cocopah Indian tribe in southwestern Arizona, this cup of tea is full of history. Brundin is sipping screwbean tea made from the beans of a screwbean mesquite tree. It looks like most any tea. It has a similar brownish color, and it tastes of chamomile or caramel with a hint of nutmeg. The tea is made by drying and grinding its distinctive screwbeans.
That's why they call chickens
because they do look like chickens.
They do.
Brundin is the Cocopah tribe's cultural resources manager. He says the screwbean once figured prominently in the diet and traditions of the Cocopah. It was used to make another fermented beverage and ground into flour for meal cakes. But Brundin says the foods and the tea faded as a regular staple for tribal members in the 1920s and 30s, possibly due to the innovation of bottled and powdered drinks. Many younger tribal members never heard of screwbean tea. Yeah. Brundin says he only learned about it in books.
Reading stories about the foods that our ancestors drank, and when I read about it, I was like, I've never heard of that. And I asked around and asked some of the elders if they'd ever heard of screwbean tea.
Now he says he'd like others to have a taste of his tribe's history.
Yeah, right now it's a self-made proposition, but who knows? You know, we have lots of really brilliant minds here at Cocopah, and I'm sure that someday we're going to have somebody that'll take off and maybe make some available to the public in a commercial format.
There's just one problem. The screwbean mesquite tree that produces the screwbean is vanishing, and no one seems to know why. Brundin drives us to a remote part of the Cocopah Reservation. We've been asked not to reveal exactly where, but in a stretch of short brownish-green trees on the edge of an open field, Brundin finds a lone screwbean mesquite tree.
An example of a screwbean tree.
The tree's unmistakable beans hang loosely from thin, light-green branches and lay scattered on the desert floor.
Now, you don't want to harvest the ones that are actually off the ground.
Brundin says few noticed the trees are disappearing, but tribal elders did, and now they want to spread the word.
You know, people have noticed the decline, but I don't think anybody's really thought about it in terms of its scale. And, you know, this screwbean has a native range that extends all the way to Texas.
Other traditional plants abound. Arrowweed and cottonwood, used for weaving and building, among other things, still grow. Also, honey mesquite, which can be ground for flour, seems plentiful here. There are invasive species, too. Salt cedar or tamarisk began to spread in the U.S. in the 1800s, planted to shore up riverbanks and to combat erosion. It's now prolific in the Southwest, sucks up water, and some researchers have called it an unkillable invader.
Ever present is the salt cedar that has been a detriment to a lot of native plants.
But does salt cedar have anything to do with the decline of screwbean mesquite trees, or is it the drought or some undiscovered parasite? Brundin says his research uncovered just two brief scientific reports on the screwbean mesquite tree's decline, one from 2007, the other from 2014. Both cite tree count data that showed significant die-offs of screwbean mesquite along the Colorado River in Nevada, Arizona, and California. In some areas, newly infected trees died within 3 months. Most trees near Yuma were infected, and 60% further north, and that was 12 years ago. The 2014 study says half the screwbean mesquite trees along the Rio Grande, Salt, and Gila rivers in the Southwest are gone.
What the Cocopah are noticing is real.
Botanist Ted Martinez is from Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff.
The screwbean mesquite is another desert legume that grows in our wetlands. It's really important. It's up there with the velvet mesquite, the honey mesquite. And so it does occupy a pretty big niche in the riparian and sort of just upland from the really wet areas in the state.
Martinez says the die-off of screwbean mesquite trees, first documented in 2005, likely continues today, and the cause is most likely a biological agent.
They still don't know if it's a virus, a fungus, or a bacterium, but it's not completely just weather-related or water table-related. But those environmental factors such as water table and weather do play a factor.
But research in 2016 by Arizona State University suggested there is some hope. Screwbean mesquite planted as part of restoration efforts along the rivers of the Southwest since the early 2000s seems more resistant to the malady.
These are turning out to be a small form of refugia for the screwbean. So I think the fact that they were put into those plots is a good thing.
Whatever the cause of the die-off of screwbean mesquite trees on the Cocopah Reservation, Brundin says there is a role for the tribe in their restoration.
Ecologically, it would be a traumatic loss because these seed pods are an important source of food for, you know, birds to coyotes. But for us, culturally, it would be a traumatic loss because this is one of our staple crops. This is something that we have relied on for millennia to provide us with food, and to lose something like that would be It's just, it's unthinkable.
For KAWC News, I'm Lou Gumm.